Shalom. Hi, good morning. It's a great pleasure and honor to come to the Mission Sunday of OCM Grace Church. And I want to introduce myself because it's my first time to come to the English congregation. My name is Gordon, and I'm serving with Chosen People Ministries. This is an organization that we serve among the Jewish people worldwide since 1894, so it's over 127 years, and our founder was a Jewish rabbi who came to faith, became a Christian, and also became a pastor, and then he started to evangelize the Jewish people, and he started in New York first, and now it's all over the world. In over 19 countries around the world that we also serve among the Jewish people. So you may ask, why do I come to serve among the Jewish people because of that? And I want to introduce something about my background first. And many people ask me, because I'm originally from Hong Kong, so they ask me how I come to have this passion to reach out to the Jewish people. And I first came to faith when I was in college. At that time, I loved to read the Bible. And also, even now, I love to read the Bible. And I know that Bible is a Jewish book because in the Old Testament and New Testament, all the authors except Luke was written by a Jewish person. And then the audience in the Old Testament is to the people of Israel. And then in the New Testament, originally, is to the Jewish believers and also to the churches that are predominantly Jewish believers at that time. So all the authors and the receivers, they are all Jewish. The background is all Jewish culture. And the context was in the land of Israel with all the geography, history, and all those backgrounds. So I got very excited and interest to know more and more about Israel and more about Jewish people. And I know that, of course, Jesus is Jewish. The Jewish believers in the early church, they are all Jewish since the book of Acts. And then I start to pray, how is the situation of the Jewish people nowadays? And I start to pray over 25 years ago when I first came to faith. So later I met this organization. Actually, I know this organization on the website originally. And I start to pray how I can share the gospel with the Jewish people because I understand Israel has a very limited number of believers even nowadays. And Jewish people, most of them, they are not believers. So I start to pray for the Jewish ministries, and then I met this organization and I met the staff finally in Hong Kong. And then they suggest me to come to Moody Bible Institutes in Chicago to study Jewish ministries, which you can look at my background in the bulletin or something, introduction at the back. And then every summer I would come to New York City or I would go to Israel for my internship. So for the first time I came to New York was in the year 2000. So this is also me. This is not my brother. And this is me, but it's 21 years ago. And I first time I came to New York, I found that I was shocked because when I watched the news and then when I read in some kind of a tourist promotion about New York City, I only have the impression about Times Square, about all the tourist sites. And then my background was in business, so I studied finance, so my focus was on the Wall Street in New York City. But when I first time I came to New York, I joined the missionary staff to go to the Jewish areas in New York City for ministries. I find that I was shocked because there are many areas like this in Borough Park, in Crown Heights, in different places. This very Orthodox Jewish people community around that area, even in Brooklyn, in Queens, different places with a large amount of Jewish communities. And then I know there are 3 million Jewish people around in New York City. So Later, I got married, and also my wife also came to Chicago to study the same program, the MDiv. And then both of us also joined the short-term ministry in New York City and also in Israel. And we are an international organization, so we have staff came from US, Canada, Australia, Europe, different places. And but after we graduated, we didn't work and serve in the US because our heart was in Israel. So in 2009, our whole family moved to Israel to be missionary at Jerusalem. So our heart, our passion is always in Israel, and we live in Jerusalem for over 5 years. Our daughter was born in Jerusalem, and she could only speak Hebrew at that time, and she didn't know any English. And also, until the year of 2014, our visa could not be continued. So we started to pray and to seek God's will. And then the organization, our missions organization said, if we cannot stay in the Holy Land of Israel, we need to pray about to serve in the second Holy Land of the world, which is Brooklyn, New York. So that's why I end up living at Brooklyn, because this is the large Jewish population outside of Israel. That's why I came again and I said relocate to New York City in 2016. And it's something out of our mind, because we didn't live here in New York before, and we didn't work among the Jewish ministries full time in the US before. So we start something new here. And then from 2016 to now, we are become missionaries in the US headquarters, which is also the place that our founder, the Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Cohen, that he came to faith at Brooklyn. And in New York, we live among the Jewish community at Brooklyn. And we did ministries all around for outreach. The area at Brooklyn in the beach, which is the, this is the Coney Island beach. Next to it was the, is the Luna Park, the theme park. There are lots of Jewish people and some Israelis visiting. We talked to them with gospel. We set up gospel table, book tables to pass out tracts. We go up as a family. And then we have a staff team, reserve together in Brooklyn, Manhattan, and Queens. We have a church planting project at Brooklyn. We call Messianic Congregation. We meet on Saturday morning. You are welcome to visit us. And also we outreach at different Jewish festivals. And also around the Jewish, the Orthodox Jewish community, we did a religious survey to ask for their religious views. And also at NYU campus at Manhattan, the larger Jewish student body over there. And we also did outreach over there. In the past, I worked with ISI, who is the speaker at the Sunday school right now in the campus in NYU and also at Columbia U. So this is pretty much our ministry. And our daughter, because she is studying at a Hebrew language school, so through the parents' organization, we joined the Israel Parade every year at Manhattan in New York City. And also because of some anti-Semitism, this one is sometimes it's not sensitive. It's control. And also we promote Jewish ministries during the missions conference every year. I mean, before the pandemic, and we did some march against the Jewish anti-Semitism because of the attack in the past few years. The Jewish organization, they organized this march against the anti-Semitism. We joined it through our daughter's school in Brooklyn Bridge. And we walk over there and we march against this kind of injustice behavior. So this morning, I want to focus on the text, which is Acts 1, verses 4 to 8. If you have the Bible, you can open it in Acts 1, verses 4 to 8. In here, it happened in a place called the Mount of Olives. So every time when I bring groups, whether they are short-term ministry teams or Holy Land tour group, I would like to bring them to the Mount of Olives to speak about this passage because now I'm running two kinds of groups to Israel. The first is the ministry team. The second is the Holy Land study tour. So every time I will bring them to the Mount of Olives, and then I will talk to them about Acts 1, because this is the beginning of the church. And then Acts 2, we have the Holy Spirit come to the earth. And then Acts 1, here is the last words of Jesus before he was ascended to heaven. And in here, in verse 4, Jesus gathered them, eating with them, and then gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift which my father promised. You have heard about before. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is a continuation from Luke 3:16, because John the Baptist also talked about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And you know, Luke and Acts, which is actually one book with the first part and the second part by the same author. So here, Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem. You just wait. I'll give you a gift after I ascend to heaven. I'll give you a gift. And when you have this gift, you can do something. This is what Jesus said before he was ascended to heaven. So you can imagine if you are one of the disciples at the top of the Mount of Olives, when you are waiting there because Jesus was died on the cross and then resurrected, and then now he was prepared to ascend to heaven, and that this is the final words you need to receive from Jesus. So you are waiting what Jesus want to command you. So in here, if you are one of the disciples, what question you would ask Jesus when he said, I'll give you a gift? And this gift, of course, is the Holy Spirit with power. Is you have a new life, a reborn life. You can recognize Jesus is the Messiah, even though he died on the cross, but he was resurrected. He was the Messiah. He has the power. He has the energy. He has all the authority on him. So the question you would be asking should be, Jesus, what do you want me to do with this power, right? If you are one of the disciples, you would ask this question. If you give me this power, what do you want me to do? For example, if somebody give you this remote, if I see it for the first time, I would ask, oh, how to use it, right? What kind of power? Do I need to put battery or is it charged by USB? This kind of question. I remember when my daughter went to kindergarten at Jerusalem, the first time in the kindergarten, she was at the age of 2. And then the school asked the parents to buy them a pair of scissors. So I bought her a pair of scissors, and then he was very interested to ask, oh, how to use this scissor? And then I explained to her, how do you cut the paper, design different things, but also remind her, be careful, don't cut your fingers, right? You would also teach your kids, or you have something new. For example, you have a new iPhone, new smartphone, a new television, new laptop, new computer. You would ask how to use it. What do you want me to do with it? Especially now you have all the power. You have all the authority in Jesus Christ. What do you want to use this power? What do you want us to do? This is supposed to be the, I would say, the natural question that the disciples should be asking. But in verse 6, you can see the disciples, they are asking something which is not natural, which is something they have some kind of agenda in their mind, which is something they have a prerequisite. They have a strong prerequisite, strong mindset over what Jesus is going to command to them. In verse 6, they gather around Jesus and ask Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They are asking the wrong question. Because what I said, the natural question should be, Jesus, what do you want me to do with this power? But they are not thinking about this way. They are thinking about, because in the Jewish people, in the Old Testament, you know, they want to have their kingdom. In the first century, there was not the state of Israel. It doesn't exist. There's no state of Israel. The Jewish people, they don't have a country. So they are under the Roman Empire. They are ruling by the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor, with harsh authority, with tough governance. So they are ready to fight. They are ready to go against the Roman Empire, and they want to establish their own kingdom or their own country. They have a strong patriotic or strong nationalism mindset. So at that time, they ignore what Jesus is going to command them. They give their own agenda. They give their own purpose. They give their own mindset, their own prerequisite. They said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this moment? Because you are the king. You are the Messiah. You are resurrected from the dead. So I'm going to follow you to kill the Roman soldiers, to overturn the Roman Empire, and then to restore the kingdom of Israel. Is this the time? So they are asking for Jesus' agreement, consentment. If this is the time, these disciples of Jesus, they may call their relatives, their friends. Most of them, they were fishermen, right? They would call their relatives from the Sea of Galilee to come to help. Let's go and fight. We'll grab the weapon, right? To go and fight to restore the kingdom of Israel for the Jewish people, for our Jewish kingdom, because we wait for such a long time. They were being exiled to the Babylon, exiled to Assyria a few hundred years ago before Jesus came to the earth in the first century. So they wait for a long, long time, and they find that if Jesus has the power, he is the Messiah, and then they would think this is the time that they can do these things. But Jesus replied in verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or days the Father has set by his own authority. If I rephrase this verse, Jesus is talking about, this is not your business of establishing the kingdom of Israel or the earthly kingdom. This is not your focus. This should not be your business, because this is something that's set by the Father. The times and the dates is according to the Father's agenda, according to the Father's will. So this is not, should be your focus. You need to wait for what I'm going to command you with this power of the Holy Spirit that you need to do. And then verse 8. In the Greek and also in English, there's something called but in here. He said, but you receive power. And what this power can do is that the power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you have this power. The power to be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Be my witnesses, in the original language, is called martyr. Is to give your sacrifice for him, to follow him, and to be a witness for the Lord. This is what Jesus commanded disciples to do. You need to be sacrificed. You need to be martyr for the Lord. And then in the rest of the book of Acts, there are 28 chapters. You can read through it after you finish the service today. The disciples, they all commit their lives, sacrifice for Jesus, to be witness for him at that time under the Roman Empire, under the opposition from all the non-believer at that time. And then they were faithful witnesses for the Lord. They made sacrifice for him. So they are really a witness for the Lord. It's very, very important. So for the witness of the Lord at that time, and also for nowadays, we can witness to our community. We need to have something to be witness for nearby community and also for the people far away or around the world. There are many people here. You may have glasses, and I have glasses here too. And in the glasses, when we go to the eye doctors, normally the people will have either short-sighted or long-sighted. And now I'm getting to a certain age. I have both problems. So now I have some kind of we call progressive lens, so I can solve both problems, short-sighted and long-sighted, both problems together in myself. Short-sighted, you mean you only see the near things. You cannot see something far away. Long-sighted, you mean it's something you can see far away, but you cannot see something close by. So be a witness for the Lord is something we need to solve these two problems. We cannot be short-sighted. We cannot only see, oh, we can be a witness to the nearby community, but the people far away in the world, we just ignore them because we couldn't see. We didn't see the people. We couldn't see the people in Africa. We couldn't see the people in China. We couldn't see any people in the Middle East. So just ignore them. And on the other hand, some spiritual problem is called long-sighted. You only see the people far away, but you cannot see the people nearby. You don't see the people nearby, around in the community, around on the campus, what the co-workers from ISI is talking about. We cannot see the people needs within maybe New Jersey or within the US. So we need to be aware that we cannot be short-sighted and we cannot be long-sighted. We need to be a witness, both. It's both and not either or. And also, the second thing is we need to witness to the people with similar culture and also cross-culture. Now in the US, it's a very diverse community. Because I live in New York for many years. Even before, when I was a seminary student, I always come here during the summer. Came here for a month to live around in New York City. And nowadays, it's more and more even diverse, not just Jewish people, but Chinese people, and also lots of Muslims from the South Asia and also from Middle East, lots of Indians. It's very diverse. And they said, in a certain area in New York City, there are people coming from 135 countries all around the world that are living in New York City. I think it's the same thing all around in the US. The community is getting more and more diverse. You can go to visit a campus or go to any restaurant nearby. You have people of similar culture and also cross culture. And we need to be a witness for both of them. And also the third thing, we need to witness to different age groups and also different social levels. These are something we need to cross the culture. We need to cross the boundaries. We need to cross the intergenerational gap and also to cross the social gaps among different people in the US. As we know, now the gap between the rich and poor and also the gap between different communities, we need to know how to break through those gaps and to witness the people. So join together. We need you to fulfill the Lord's commission together to be a witness for the Lord nowadays to the people near us and the people far away from us. This is the Jerusalem Messianic Center, which I serve at Jerusalem in Israel for many years. And in there, we continue our campaign called the Isaiah 53 campaign, because the Jewish people, most of them, they are still waiting for a Messiah. And then we pass out this book and said, you don't need to wait because he has come already. From the Isaiah 53, you can see he is a suffering servant. The Jewish people, they're still waiting for a king. They cannot believe Jesus is the Messiah because they are expecting a king who can control, who can reign over the world. Jesus died on the cross. They said, he is such a weak person. that are being persecuted and being put on the cross. So they couldn't believe he is the Messiah. But we talk to them, Isaiah 53, we do Bible study and bring them to the Lord. And also we did campus ministries. You can join us in future. If you go to Israel, we have Gospel Cafe in different places. We organize concert when the short-term ministries team comes and the Bible study groups. We have food distribution centers. So you can come to join us for different, this kind of humanitarian aid service. We are not a food trucks, and we organize ministry teams to help pack those food packages and to send out to the Jewish community around us. We have a rehab center in Tel Aviv, and we did single mom ministries and the children and youth ministries. And this is a new ministry. We do beach cleaning ministries. And also at the same time, we do evangelism in the Sea of Galilee at Tiberias. So you can come to join with us to clean the beach, to do evangelism, and also to enjoy the Sea of Galilee at the same time. So please pray for us. And if you are interested, you can join us in future when the border is open, when the sky is open. And you are welcome to come to my book table on your way out in the place, I would call it the fellowship hall. I set up a book table to introduce the ministries to you. And please pray for us, because during this pandemic period, in the past 1.5 years, we have 4 missionary families left New York City because of different reasons, because of retirement, because of COVID, because of their financial situation, and because of the family situation. So now we are lacking co-workers. There are only 2 families left in New York City, and we need more staff. And also my son, he received a second dose of the vaccine. He got a heart inflammation of side effects. He stayed in the hospital for 4 days, and now he's recovering, and I hope he'll do well. So please pray together, and I hope the Lord will lead you continue to be a witness for him. Oh Lord, thank you for the time that we are being together, and thank you for your command, your reminder for us that in this world, we focus on spiritual things. We focus on the heavenly kingdom. We need to be a witness for you, because this is a spiritual matter. This is an eternal matter. This is a spiritual thing. We need to fight against, it's not the regime in this world, but fight against Satan is the spiritual power. We need to be a witness for you, to turn the people to you, and to be help them to reconcile to you, that they may repent and to believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We lift up the people at this church, and may you empower all of us to be a faithful witness in these end times, to be a witness for you. We thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. Sure. I like questions. Shalom. Hallelujah. It's all Hebrew. And Boker Tov. Yeah, which is good morning. First of all, I need to ask, are they religious Jewish people or secular? Do they go to synagogue? Okay. I think we need to ask them why they don't wear it. For the religious people, we need to ask whether they have any prerequisite of understanding who is the Messiah. And if they have certain pre-understandings, we need to try to solve them first, because in the synagogue, they don't read the Isaiah 53. They skip this part because the rabbi said that this is something not necessary and not helpful to read in those part of the scriptures. Even they read the Old Testament, but they don't read those parts. So we need to help them to solve what they are struggling. And for the secular people, they just don't have interest in the Bible. They have interest on enjoy life. Maybe they will ask you, which is the best restaurant to eat, to go to dining. So, they may not have interest on spiritual matters. So we need to see what kind of struggles and their interests and, to try to talk to them, from that point. But, it will take a while to understand, what are their, thinking first. Yeah. Hi, hello. In Israel, I am a very special person because most of them, they only see a Chinese tourist, but they did not have any Chinese friend that live in their community. So when I live in Jerusalem, I was always being invited by my neighbors to talk to them because they are in Israel, they are always interested about in the Second World War. There are certain amount, I think it's around around 50,000 Jewish people. They fled from Germany and also different places in Europe. They went to Shanghai, China. So they are interested about this part of history. They want to know why the Chinese government, they are so open to receive the Jewish people at that time. Because at that time, the Europe, even the US and Canada, they all shut the border. Didn't allow the Jewish people, the Jewish refugees to come because of political and economic concern. But, in Shanghai, China, many, Jewish refugees, they find a shelter in that place. So they are very appreciated. Actually, in the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, there's a large map, display that, only China, in the midst, in the middle of the Second World War, China was also undergoing a deep struggle by invasion by Japan. But this out of this struggle, they still receive a large amount of Jewish people, and the Israelis, they're very appreciate of this act. But of course, after I moved to New York, because Chinese people is not that special anymore, because they're, I think there are 1 million Jewish Chinese people living in New York City. So I'm not so special anymore. And but I will still speak to some Jewish friends in Brooklyn and also some Israeli friends. I can talk to them in Hebrew. And also my daughter is going to a Jewish school. So I would build some relationship in a special way with the Jewish community. And also doing some outreach and just talk to them directly in the gospel, and also do Bible study in maybe in Hebrew, in their language, in Old Testament. Try to give something special. For a regular Chinese person, I think just use your witness and your loving behavior to show your prayer, love, and concern, and your interest on them, and also to continue to build relationship. Just treat them as a normal person, to love them and help them. I think at a certain point, if they need, they would ask you for help and ask you for prayer. Actually, some of our co-workers, they are being led to the Lord by some of their Chinese friends. So there's something would happen, and then the Lord will use each one of us. Yeah, I'll be here for a few more hours, so you're welcome to stay. I'll be in the book table And you can also get my email. We can keep in touch through email. Thank you.